வணக்கம் கிறிசி.
ஹலோ சஞ்சன், ஹவ் ஆர் யூ?
முதல் கேள்வி, ஏன் நீங்கள் ஏன் இந்த புத்தகத்தை எழுத வேண்டும்?
Why write a book? Well, I wrote Tsunami in the Single Girl because I guess my family and friends had been encouraging me to write a book after I'd sent home all the different emails around the emergencies I'd worked in around the world. And I really wanted to raise awareness of poverty and disaster and gender issues through my story of a single woman looking for love. So I kind of lightened it up by putting in the search for Mr. Right in as well, with the idea that hopefully people who wouldn't usually read about poverty in disaster will pick up the book and learn something but have a fun journey on the search for Mr. Right on the way.
உங்களுக்கு சரியான துணையை தேடி கண்டுபிடித்தீர்களா?
Well, that would be giving you the end of the book, wouldn't it, Sanjan? You might have to read to the end to find out.
இந்த புத்தகத்தை எழுதும் பொழுது மிகவும் கடினமான பகுதி என்று எதை கூறுவீர்கள்?
It was really interesting because in my book I reflected on all the different emergencies I've worked in, as well as all my personal stories of my search for love as well. But I think it was kind of really good therapy for me writing about the different emergencies I worked in, because often as aid workers we just keep going and working and not having as much time to really reflect on our work and what we've done and the impact that it's had on us emotionally. So I think it was a really good journey just putting it all out in writing and starting to talk about it a little bit more. So I'm not sure that that answers your question and what's the hardest, but the journey of actually writing the book was kind of a good therapy for me in general.
Aid workers என்று அழைக்கப்படுகின்ற உதவி மனப்பான்மை உடையவர்கள், அவர்கள் ஆஸ்திரேலியா, அமெரிக்கா போன்ற அபிவிருத்தி அடைந்த நாடுகளிலிருந்து வருகிறார்களா அல்லது அபிவிருத்தி அடைந்து வரும் நாடுகளிலிருந்து வருகிறார்களா என்பதற்கு அப்பால், இந்த உதவி மனப்பான்மை உடையவர்கள் அனைவருக்கும் சில பொதுவான குணாதிசயங்கள் இருக்க காண்கிறேன்.
Well, there's certainly a whole range of different type of people working in aid. I guess the one thing that we all have in common is our want to see the world a better place and of social justice and of helping people. So even though often I've worked in a country and I have 10 different nationalities that I'm working with, and we all could have very different beliefs or religion or likes and dislikes, but we're all there for the one purpose of trying to overcome poverty. So that's the one thing that actually surpasses all of our differences, and that's always really lovely to feel within the team that you're working.
கிறிசி, நீங்கள் உதவிப் பணிகளை ஆரம்பிக்க முன் இந்த உலகத்தை மாற்ற வேண்டும் என்ற நோக்கத்துடன் நீங்கள் இந்த பணியில் இறங்கினீர்கள். நீங்கள் பெரு என்ற நாட்டில் கண்ட ஒரு காட்சி உங்களை உலுக்கியது. அதன் பின் நீங்கள் வியட்நாமில் இருந்த பொழுது நடந்த விபத்து, அதன் பிற்பாடு வைத்தியசாலையில் உங்களுக்கு சிந்திக்க அதிக நேரம் கிடைத்தது. மீண்டும் மெல்பர்னுக்கு வந்த பொழுது ஒரு வாய்ப்பை உருவாக்கி உதவி பணி செய்யக்கூடிய ஒரு அமைப்பில் சேர்ந்தீர்கள். அந்த அனுபவங்களை பகிர்ந்து கொள்ளுங்களேன்.
Yeah, well, I guess I'd always been interested in social justice growing up, but when I started traveling the world and particularly to developing countries, it opened my eyes to the poverty and the injustices of the way people lived. And I think the passage you're talking about is when I was in a bar in Peru with other travelers and backpackers, and I was looking out and seeing a woman with her very young children on the street, and they were tucking themselves in to go to bed on the street. And that, for me, even though I'd seen lots of other things like that, it was a real moment of realization of, oh, I really want to do something to give back to all these amazing communities I've been visiting. And so when I dislocated my knee on the dance floor in Vietnam, cut my travels short because of that. On the way home, people were saying, oh, what are you going to do now? I'd been traveling for a couple of years and living away from home. And all I knew was that I didn't want to work in the corporate sector anymore, that I did want to work for something that, for me, had a bit more meaning and could give back to the world. And so that's when I joined Oxfam Australia.
இது நிகழ்ந்து இப்பொழுது எத்தனை வருடங்கள்?
Oh, that was over 10 years ago now.
இந்த 10 வருடங்களில் உலகத்தை மாற்றி விட்டீர்களா?
I certainly hope that I've made some difference to some of the communities I've worked in. I'm not sure about changing the world, but in reflecting on my book and the programs I've worked in, definitely have made some really positive changes for some of the countries I've worked in.
இந்த நூலிலே உங்களுடைய கொள்ளு பாட்னர், அவர் ஆஸ்திரேலியாவின் உதவி பிரதமராக இருந்திருக்கிறார். அது நான் ஆஸ்திரேலியாவிற்கு வருவதற்கு முந்தைய காலத்தில். அவருக்கும் உங்களுக்குமான உறவை பற்றி அழகாக விவரித்திருக்கிறீர்கள். அதை பற்றி சொல்லுங்களேன்.
Yes, well, actually, he was Deputy Prime Minister and then Acting Prime Minister before my time as well. But Dr. Jim Kenz, he was an active member in the Labor Party with the Whitlam government. And he was he led the anti-Vietnam War movement and was very much a peace activist and made some really big changes for Australia in the 1970s, 60s and 70s. So he was someone that I did look up to, and he was a pillar within our family and within Australia in looking at social change and social justice. So I'm quite proud to have him as my great-grandfather.
அப்போதிருந்த அரசியல்வாதிகளுடன் ஒப்பிடும் பொழுது இப்பொழுது இருக்கின்ற அரசியல்வாதிகள் அவர்களுடைய பிரச்சாரங்களை பற்றி ஏதாவது கருத்து இருந்தால்
சொல்லுங்களேன். That's a really good question, and I do think I am a bit disenchanted with politics today, and I think social justice in a lot of the mainstream parties have dropped off the agenda a little bit, or certainly not given enough attention. And that is also reflected by the decreased aid that is being sent overseas, the way that our government treats asylum seekers and refugees. So I do find that quite upsetting, and hope that we can make changes and have better experiences for asylum seekers looking to be and live in a safe environment. I hope that Australia one day will be able to be that for some people.
நேர்களே, இது SBS வானொலியின் தமிழ் ஒலிபரப்பு. அதில் நாம் வழங்கிக் கொண்டிருப்பது படித்ததில் பிடித்தது நிகழ்ச்சியில் சுனாமி அந்த சிங்கிள் கேர்ள் என்ற நூலை எழுதிய கிறிஸி நிக்கல்சன் அவர்களுடன் ஒரு சந்திப்பு. உங்களுடைய பாட்டிக்கும் உங்களுக்குமான உறவு நெருக்கமானது என்று அழகாக சித்தரித்திருக்கிறீர்கள் இந்த நூலிலே. அதை பற்றி சொல்லுங்களேன்.
I've got a very close family, and it's interesting, one thing that I noted when living in Sri Lanka and other countries that I've worked in is a sense of community and the really strong sense of family that I think, you know, some people in Australia don't have. But I certainly do have a very strong family. My family all, in fact, came over to visit me in Sri Lanka for my 30th birthday, which I was in Sri Lanka for a year after the tsunami. And they all came to visit me once the first phase of the disaster had calmed down a little bit. So it was really lovely to have them all, including my grandmother, who was 82 years old. And we went and took her up to Kandy to see the elephants. And we went on went to a few beaches. And I was just always really privileged to have her there with me, supporting me. And we do have a very, very close relationship.
இப்படியான ஒரு நெருக்கமான குடும்ப சூழலில் இருந்து வருகின்ற நீங்கள் அந்த குடும்பத்தை பிரிந்து பல மாதங்கள் உங்களுடைய உதவி பணிக்காக வெளிநாடுகளில் தொலைதொடர்புகளும் அரிதான நாடுகளில் செயல்படுகிறீர்கள். அது எப்படி சாத்தியமாகிறது?
Well, I guess, you know, one thing you do miss when you're away is your family, but by the same token, they also what made me keep going. You know, they supported me, gave me confidence to believe that I can do whatever I want and to believe that I can achieve my dreams. And so it was the way they brought me up, believing in myself, that helped me to achieve what I wanted to, my dream of becoming an aid worker. So while I miss them, you know, they were always very encouraging and often visited me in different places that I work, such as in Sri Lanka. And they're always there for me when I return as well.
சுனாமி வந்தவுடன் நீங்கள் இலங்கை தீவிற்கு சென்று சுனாமியால் ஏற்பட்ட அழிவுகள், புனருத்தாரண வேலைகளின் தேவைகள் என்ன என்பதை கண்டறிவதற்காக சென்றீர்கள். அதைத் தொடர்ந்து நீங்கள் ஒரு வருடம் அங்கே தங்கியிருந்து அந்த வேலை திட்டங்கள் எப்படி செயல்படுத்தப்படுகின்றன என்பதையும் அறிந்தீர்கள். அதன் போது நீங்கள் இலங்கை தீவில் உள்ள மக்கள், பல சமூகங்கள், பலதரப்பட்ட மக்களை கண்டிருப்பீர்கள். அவர்களை பற்றிய உங்கள் பார்வையை சொல்லுங்களேன்.
Sure. So it's really difficult to think about in a short time because I was there for a whole year. But I guess my first impressions of Sri Lanka, I was based in Colombo, but we had offices all around, everything from up north in Kilinochi and Vivunya right down to Mataro in the south and Trincomalee. So I had the privilege of visiting lots of different parts of Sri Lanka. And initially, of course, my first impressions was of the absolute ruins and the devastation that the tsunami caused. But saying that, one of the things that also struck me was just the complete resilience and strength of all the people in Sri Lanka, all the communities that banded together to try and improve their own lives and to keep on going despite the fact that they'd faced such atrocities. And then moving forward into the rest of the year, just each time I visited a community, you know, I could see the development and could see things very slowly changing for people to be able to rebuild their lives and get their livelihoods back and make efforts where they could to have peaceful relationships. Resilient, strong people is what I felt of Sri Lankans, and also very welcoming.
இலங்கை தீவிலே நீங்கள் நிவாரணப் பணிகளில் ஈடுபட்டிருந்த பொழுது ஆக்ஷன் அகெயின்ஸ்ட் ஹங்கர் என்று ஆங்கிலத்தில் சொல்லக்கூடிய ஒரு பிரெஞ்சு அமைப்பின் 17 நிவாரண ஊழியர்கள் சுட்டுக் கொல்லப்பட்டார்கள். நீங்கள் பணியாற்றிய ஆக்ஸ்ஃபேம் அமைப்பு அந்த பணிமனைக்கு அருகில்தான் இருந்தது. அதனால் உங்களுக்கும் சக பணியாளர்களுக்கும் ஏற்பட்ட மன உளைச்சல் பற்றி உங்கள் நூலிலே விவரித்திருக்கிறீர்கள். அந்த நிகழ்வுகளை பற்றி நீங்கள் நினைவு கூர்வதுண்டா?
Yes, I mean that was really shocking that the aid workers that were killed were right next door to the Oxfam office, and it could have been any one of our staff. And the fact that aid workers were being killed in the first place was just really difficult to fathom, because they were there helping their communities. And it is unthinkable. It does make me think of the security situation for aid workers all around the world. And more we are being targeted, even though we're there to help the people. So there is a sad situation. And unfortunately, the incidence of security situations and deaths for aid workers has increased globally.
இதே போல இன்னொரு நிகழ்வு நீங்கள் உகாண்டாவில் இருந்த பொழுது ஒரு வாகன சாரதி உங்களை ஒரு இடத்திலிருந்து இன்னொரு இடத்திற்கு அழைத்துச் செல்கிறார். அப்பொழுது தன்னுடைய அனுபவங்களை உங்களுடன் பகிர்ந்து கொள்கிறார். என்னுடைய சிந்தனை என்னவென்றால், இந்த உதவி பணி செய்கிறவர்கள் மற்றவருடைய மனதை உணர்ந்து கொள்கின்ற அதே வேளை அந்த உணர்வுகளில் அடிமைப்படாமல் வேறுபட்டு நிற்க வேண்டிய ஒரு தேவை இருக்கிறதா? என்னுடைய கேள்வி என்னவென்றால், இந்த கதைகளை கேட்டுக்கொண்டும் உங்களால் எப்படி சமாளிக்க முடிகிறது?
I don't know that distancing is the right word. People go on, and particularly the aid workers that are from the communities that they're working in, like the driver in Uganda that you're talking about. He did have to drive over bodies to get aid to people on the other side, and if he had have stopped, he would have been shot. So people do put their lives at risk. And I think particularly so are the local staff that often go unrecognised within the international community, because often it's the international aid worker comes in that gets a lot more attention. But usually in these situations, it's the local people who are working for their own country that may be targeted or be at more risk. And they're also probably suffering more trauma as well, because they've actually experienced it, been a part of it from the day one, and often their families and communities have been affected as well. And again, reflecting on Sri Lanka, that was one thing that struck me, is that all of our local staff came from the communities and had been working in the same communities for many years before and then after the tsunami. And so seeing their strength throughout was important. One of my roles in Sri Lanka also was to look at trauma counselling for staff, because that again is something that we don't think about. But you know, we're the staff giving the aid, however we need to think of both the local and international staff, the effect that what they're seeing and experience is having on them as well. But I think, you know, for me, it's people often ask, oh, how do I handle seeing such poverty and disaster? But what I often see is that strength and resilience of the people and the communities that I work in, and that the hope that they have, and that generally helps me to be positive, and also to, I guess, celebrate small successes, because often it is a really slow, you know, development work is quite slow, and there can be, you know, 2 steps forward, 1 step back, depending on the situation that you're in. So you need to try and be positive, but also have someone to have a chat to, or go and have, you know, have a cup of tea or a drink after work and try and unwind and debrief on your day. That also helps making friends with other workers as well.
நேர்களே, நாம் கேட்டுக்கொண்டிருப்பது SBS வானொலியின் தமிழ் ஒலிபரப்பு. அதில் நாம் வழங்கிக் கொண்டிருப்பது படித்ததில் பிடித்தது. இன்று நாம் சந்தித்து உரையாடுபவர் சுனாமி அந்த சிங்கிள் கேர்ள் என்ற நூலை எழுதிய கிறிஸி நிக்கல்சன். ஆனால் நீங்கள் ஆப்பிரிக்காவில் இருந்தபொழுது 1 மணி நேரம்தான் வேலையை பற்றி பேச முடியும் என்று உங்கள் வீட்டில் இருந்த மற்றைய உதவி பணியாளர்களுக்கு கட்டளையிட்டிருந்தீர்கள் இல்லையா?
Well, that was, yeah, in the household, because obviously if you're often living with a group of people that you're working with at the same time. So that was one of the rules I put into our house that people agreed with, was let's just stop talking about work for a while. And that actually gave us a chance to find out more about each other and to have a bit of downtime. Otherwise, it's like you're working 24 hours and you do need downtime to be able to work well when you are at work.
உங்களுடைய புத்தகத்திலே உதவி பணி புரிய விரும்புபவர்கள் எப்படி அந்த வேலையை தேட முடியும் என்ற ஒரு கைநூலை வழங்கியிருக்கிறீர்கள். அந்த புத்தகத்திலே எதை காணவில்லை என்று சொன்னால், உதவி பணி புரிபவர்கள் தங்களுக்கு தோதுவான ஒரு துணையை எப்படி தேடிக்கொள்ள முடியும் என்ற ஒரு கைநூல்.
Well, that is, I think I do give a few little tips, but really for me it was, because I did toss up, okay, look, it's difficult. I'm on the road all the time, travelling. How do I maintain a relationship? And as I was reaching my 30s and getting a bit older, I was like, well, is my career actually stopping me from finding Mr. Right? So that, I do talk about that in the book a lot. And that's more the fun, romantic side of the book that the read is the different relationships I get myself into along the way. Yeah, I don't know what to advise except for just live your dream and relax and be yourself and eventually it will come.
உங்களுடைய நூலிலே நீங்கள் சந்தித்த பல ஆண்களை பற்றி ஆழமாக விவரித்திருக்கிறீர்கள். அதில் நல்லதும் அமைந்திருக்கிறது, சில ஆண்களுடைய விசித்திரமான குணாதிசயங்களையும் எழுதியிருக்கிறீர்கள். அது கஷ்டமாக இருந்ததா? ஏனென்றால் இவர்களை நீங்கள் எதிர்காலத்தில் சந்திக்க கூடும் இல்லையா?
I really don't know how I'll face it. I've changed everyone's names. But certainly if they read the book, they'll recognize themselves. So watch this space. It might be my book number 2, finding out their responses.
இந்த நூலிலே நீங்கள் எழுதிய மிகவும் சுவாரஸ்யமான பகுதி என்று எதை குறிப்பிடுவீர்கள்?
I think for me what was interesting but also difficult was to try and make sure, often aid workers and people in the humanitarian development sector, we have a language of our own. We have lots of acronyms and we speak a bit of a different language. So for me, just trying to break down a lot of that language so that it relates to people who don't work in the industry. So that was a challenge, but also interesting to try and achieve that.
அதேபோல் மிகவும் முக்கியமான பகுதி என்று எதை குறிப்பிடுவீர்கள்?
Oh, that's a really difficult question because it's all a part of my journey. So it would be, if you took lots, you know, big pieces out. Look, I think Sri Lanka, and I'm not saying this because it's a Sri Lankan program, but that wasn't the first big emergency that I've worked in. So I had to step up professionally, and then that also is a part where I have a lot of personal journeys as well. So I guess that takes up a lot of the chapters, you know, the chapters are weighted differently. But I think that because it was the first big emergency, if you had to take that out, it would be a very different story.
இந்த நூலை எழுதுவதற்கு உங்களுக்கு ஏதாவது தடைகள் இருந்ததா?
Yeah, I wouldn't say constraints. So obviously, well, my father, when he read the book, said, well, you didn't hold much back, did you? So I really tried to be really open and honest about my journey and my feelings. I also was really conscious of being sensitive to and representing the cultures and countries that I worked in. And obviously, it's all from my own opinions and feelings, and particularly when I write about gender issues, for example, I was mindful of how I may come across and of my own cultural biases, I guess.
நேர்களே, இது SBS வானொலியின் தமிழ் ஒலிபரப்பு. அதில் நாம் வழங்கிக் கொண்டிருப்பது படித்ததில் பிடித்தது நிகழ்ச்சியில் சுனாமி அந்த சிங்கிள் கேர்ள் என்ற நூலை எழுதிய கிறிஸி நிக்கல்சன் அவர்களுடன் ஒரு சந்திப்பு. சிறு வயதிலிருந்து உங்களுக்கு எழுதும் பழக்கம் இருந்ததா? கதை, கவிதை அல்லது உங்கள் டைரி கூட எழுதும் பழக்கம் இருந்ததா?
Yeah, well, exactly. That's exactly right, Sanjay. I had never done any professional writing before, but I've had a diary since I was 14 years old and always written in it. And one of the reasons I wrote this book is because all my friends and families had read lots of very avid emails that I'd write home about my adventures of travel and then of work. So I've always written, even though I've never really considered myself a writer. So it's quite an interesting question. Hello. And yes, I've read lots of different books over the years.
அப்படி என்றால் நீங்கள் படித்த புத்தகங்களில் உங்களுக்கு மிகவும் பிடித்தமான எழுத்தாளர் என்று யாரை குறிப்பிடுவீர்கள்?
That's a difficult question. One of the books that I really love, and I guess I compare my book to a little, is Emergency Sex and Other Disasters. That's actually three different aid workers that come together to tell their story about emergency response, but also tell the social expatriate side as well and their relationships as well. So that was a bit of an inspiration that I think there's not that many books that talk about not only the aid worker but the personal relationships side as well. So that's a book I really love. It's more specific books that I've read rather than following one author and lots of different books. I often read a whole lot of different books. And a lot of the books I've read actually, you know, the most consistent is probably of the Dalai Lama and his teachings and lessons around Buddhism and life and peace.
நீங்கள் மீண்டும் ஆன்மீகவாதத்தில் இறங்கிவிட்டீர்களா?
Oh, good question, because I do talk about that. I'm not sure. I'm sure there's a lot more I could do to live a more holistic spiritual life. But I certainly feel very happy and content with my life at the moment.
இதை பற்றி கேட்கலாமோ தெரியவில்லை, உங்களுடைய முதுகு வலி இப்பொழுது எப்படி இருக்கிறது?
My back is great, actually. Thank you for asking. I nearly had to have surgery again, actually, last year, and that was really scary. I thought, oh, not again. But I did a lot of physio, and it seems to be really good at the moment.
Chrissy, உங்களுக்கு காலம் இடம் என்ற இரண்டு கட்டுப்பாடுகளும் இல்லை என்று சொன்னால், அதாவது நீங்கள் எந்த காலகட்டத்திலிருந்தும் யாரையும் எந்த இடத்திலிருந்தும் விருந்துக்கு அழைக்கலாம் என்று சொன்னால், உங்கள் வீட்டிற்கு யாரை அழைப்பீர்கள்?
Okay. Well, I think I would invite Nelson Mandela, because of his amazing work for peace in South Africa and to end apartheid, and just his general experience and knowledge and wisdom, I'd be interested to talk to him. I'd like to invite maybe a pharaoh from Egypt, because I'm fascinated. Egypt's one of my favourite countries, and I'd be fascinated to hear how the pyramids were built and what it was like around that time. I'd be interested to invite maybe a suffragette, I'm not sure who, but like a feminist from the very beginning when women in Australia didn't have any rights, to hear their stories of how they started achieving for rights for women in Australia. I would probably invite the Dalai Lama because I really like his books and his teachings, and I think he's a very wise man as well. And then I'd probably invite a comedian to lighten it all up and have a bit of fun around the table. I'm not sure who, though.
இறுதியாக, இந்த நூலை நீங்கள் வெளியிட்டதன் மூலம் உலகில் எந்த மாற்றத்தை ஏற்படுத்துவீர்கள் என்று எதிர்பார்க்கிறீர்கள்?
As a result of this book, I would like to raise awareness of issues around poverty and disaster and gender, and hopefully inspire some other people to become aid workers, and if not, at least to contribute some way towards social justice.
Thank you very much, Chrissy.
Great, thank you very much.